setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. In other words, it's all about you, because you were created to fill a unique role in your work. It is your contribution. So if that is true, and it is, then that means you are really valuable. And you have to do it. There is a duty for you to show up. So this time of great uncertainty and the crisis is, it's a little weird for folks. They're going, hey, now, how does this affect my timeline? And we don't necessarily know, but here's what we do know, that you and your purpose are still very much needed. Your dreams don't evaporate. They may have to be paused for the time being, but it does not mean that everything is over and you have to figure out and start from scratch. It's just simply not the case. We're going to have to pivot. We're going to have to edit, but we keep moving forward. 844-747-2577. That's the number, 844-747-2577. Ask at kencoleman.com is the email address. We go to Grand Junction, Colorado to start today's show. Kate joins us there. Kate, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you?
I am living the dream, Kate. What's going on?
So I guess I'm generally wondering, I had the opportunity to possibly relocate to get a permanent job at the job that I've been seasonal at for years, but we'd have to relocate. And just with the world right now, my husband would have to find work where we relocate to, and everyone's going to be looking for work, I feel like.
Right.
So not sure if it's the right time to do that. If we stay where we are now, I may have an opportunity to get permanent in about a year, but there's no guarantees, but we do have more connections where we currently are.
Right. Okay, so if we weren't in the middle of this coronavirus situation and the uncertainty around your husband getting a job because he's got to work in this new location, would this be a no-brainer, automatic, you're taking it or not?
Aside from my fear of change, yes.
Okay. So when do you have to say yes? Well, they already made the offer?
No, I have an interview tomorrow, but I might have other offers also. I work for a federal agency and the application is for multiple locations. I've only heard from one of the locations so far.
Okay.
If I'm willing to take a job in a small town, I'm probably likely to get an offer.
Okay. But in the small town, that means there's less opportunity for hubs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless he wants to stay in his current career, which he does not.
What does he want to do?
He's not entirely sure. He loves to guide hunting, but that's a seasonal thing that he wants to feel out possibly in the future. So if I get on permanently somewhere, that gives him more lateral ability to do that.
Okay. What else? Give me a general. Let's not worry about title or anything like that.
Okay.
What would you do for him tomorrow? If you could snap your fingers, what kind of work would you say? I think this would be my guess as to something he'd really like to do. I'm just curious what you would say.
Snapping fingers tomorrow, just get him out of what he's doing now because he's miserable.
No, I know. But what would you do? Like, let's just say it was for fun and you were buying him it was like a birthday present job. You're like, you don't have to commit to this, but this is something that I think you would really, really love. You know him better than anybody else.
It is what he thinks he wants to do, which is, but it's seasonal work, or he has to move around a bunch. Is guiding hunts.
Okay, but here's
people
the thing.
Out and,
okay, so then, okay, let's say that's one thing, but what would be similar to that? What would be in the same space as that, but it's not so seasonal?
I'm not sure.
I got it, but that's the conversation you got to have with him. Because
right.
Here's my point.
Yeah.
His future is kind of tied up in your deal. And it's not as clear as you just going, all right, I'm going to take one of these things. You've got to take one of these things where you feel like you guys can land. The only concern I have is the scenario where if you don't take one of these opportunities, you've got to wait a year before another one pops up at minimum, and then there's no guarantee that you get it. And what you told me is, if you weren't unsure about your husband being able to get work, this would be a no-brainer. So right. I think it's still a no-brainer. But I think you as a couple have to sit down and strategize for him and go, what could he do?
Right.
What, you know, and is he willing to just do whatever, knowing that, A, Kate, he's out of this miserable situation he's in now, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
B, anything he does in the short term is just that, short term. Until
I think so.
Until he can get into
I think
the
he's willing.
Yeah, until he can get into the game industry. Let's just call it that, hunting, gaming, you know?
Right. And he's interested in CDL work too, and that's
there you
more
go.
Flexible.
There you go. So I think it's a no-brainer. I think you guys come up with a plan that we're going to band together, we're going to sacrifice, cut expenses, whatever we got to do until Hubs find something. But I think you got to take what you love. You got to do it or you're going to regret it sometime in your life. Years down the road, you might regret it. I think you got to do it.
Yeah, it's just hard right now not knowing.
I know.
Not knowing anybody in the new location, so we have a lack of connections in addition to the current work environment.
I get that.
Up in the air.
I get that, but does that outweigh what your heart's telling you? That's your head talking. Your heart's going,
yeah.
Do it, Kate, do it. Go, Kate, go. That's what your heart's saying.
Yeah, my whole life my head has been louder than my heart.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because the head is based on fear. Your brain is doing what it's designed to do, Kate. Your brain is designed to send a chemical throughout your body when you get scared. Your brain is designed to create all the logical reasons why you should not step into something that is dangerous.
Absolutely.
But guess what? Your brain's reacting to you and the thoughts that you're having. The brain doesn't drive you. The brain programs you. Big difference. Whatever you put into it, that's what it will program out. And nothing that you're talking about doing, Kate, is dangerous, is it?
Probably not.
No, it's not. So therefore, you got to stop listening to your brain. More importantly, you've got to stop putting fearful thoughts into your brain.
But that's what I'm good at.
I know, but you're also good at some other things too. I think you need to focus on the exciting things and the dreams. You and your husband need to have a dream dinner.
Okay.
What would life be like when we make this move and I'm doing what I love and you're doing what you love and you're out guiding hunts, or when you're not doing that, you're working for the Game and Fishing Board or whatever. I'm just making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to create this alternate positive scenario, and then your brain will start to program positive things, not fearful things. Do you track on what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, Kate, do this. Do this. Don't look back. You and your husband come up with a plan, and we can go meet people once we get there. The other thing is, I just don't believe in this interconnected society that we live in on social media. I don't think for a second you could take any city in the country. Let's just take Stacy and I. All right, let's say we had to move somewhere, and we don't know anybody in Boise, Idaho. I'm just making it up, because to my knowledge, I don't know anybody in Boise. Right now, Joe, as I'm aware of, I don't know anybody that lives in Boise. Now, that's just where I sit right now. Well, wait a second. If Stacy and I got together and we reached out to everybody we know, social media, closer friends, team workers, look, somebody knows somebody in Boise. You can make a connection. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, we are all created to fill a unique role. That means that you are needed, and it means that you must do it. I know that trying to land that dream job is not easy, because I've been there. It's intimidating, it's scary, there's a lot of doubt, but I can tell you it was worth it, because there's nothing like the joy that comes from doing work that you know you were put on this earth to do. So if you're ready to get there too, I want you to go to kencoleman.com. There you're going to find 3 free resources, all designed to give you confidence and make your job search very effective. The Get Hired Guides include the Resume Guide, the Interview Guide, and the Interview Follow-Up Guide. The Resume Guide is going to help you fix your resume, flip it. It's going to look like nobody else's resume, and that's going to help you get noticed and land the interview. The Interview Guide walks you through the 5 strategies that will help you stand out in the process. And finally, the Interview Follow-Up Guide gives you a timeline and exactly what to do to follow up to continue to stand out post-interview. You can get all 3 guides free at kencoleman.com. Go to kencoleman.com and get hired. shining the light of clarity and good news in a sea of uncertainty and bad news. This is the Ken Coleman Show. How about an email, folks? Joe, the producer, sent this to me this morning. Actually, last night. And this is so encouraging. Got an email from Joshua over the weekend. And this is in the middle of the coronavirus. Okay, so hear this. Hey, Ken, I followed the advice from your book, The Proximity Principle. I work in the IT department of a financial institution. I enjoy my work and the culture. During my year in review for 2019, I asked my manager for some practical tips of things I can do to earn more in my current position rather than just asking for a raise. By the way, that's straight from the show. I tell folks all the time, don't ask for a raise, ask for a growth plan. Because when you ask for a growth plan, A, you're not putting your leader on the defensive by asking for a raise. B, you're saying, what can I learn? How can I get better? Where are some areas I can improve so I can be more value for the organization? What's a growth plan look like for me to get more responsibility and influence? And by the way, when I get that, how do I make more money? That is the way to go about the raise issue. All right, back to the email. So he says, I began learning some of the skills discussed. Then COVID-19 hit. My team has been responsible for setting up remote access for many of our associates to work at home. I volunteered to stay and work late hours over the last few weeks, up to 16-hour days. My manager spoke with me this past week to tell me I'm receiving a 10% raise effective the beginning of the current pay period. How about that? Yes. Way to go, Joshua. Listen, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you. You will advance. You will make progress when you do what Joshua just did. Sitting down with your leader, how can I continue to advance here by being more valuable for the company? So I want to learn, are there some skills you think, I need to go do this seminar, I need to do this online webinar, I need to read this book, or I need to do this. How can I continue to get better in the areas where I'm strong? What does it look like for me in the future to increase my responsibility and influence? And then how is that measured and tied to my compensation? Folks, that conversation right there in a healthy organization is massive. You want to get ahead of the rest of the pack? That's how you do it. Way to go, Joshua. Love that. 844-747-2577. By the way, some of you right now need to go to kencoleman.com and you need to spend 3 minutes on our free Should I Quit My Job quiz. 3 minutes, 20 questions, kencoleman.com. Should I Quit My Job quiz? You're going to get a report and it's going to push you, nudge you towards making the change that you need to make in this season or getting ready to make the change. 844-747-2577. Midland, Texas is where we go next. Lisa joins us there. Lisa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I am living the dream. What's going on?
Good. Well, I think I've been feeling stuck in my current position for about a year now. Very little feedback. When I ask for feedback, I'm just told that, you know, I have a job, and if I didn't have a job, that would be my feedback. Anytime I ask for help or direction, I'm told to figure it out on my own. And when I make a mistake based on that, I'm put in an email with a group of people telling me what my mistake was. I've never really felt this incompetent in the last 20 years of my career.
Right.
I've only been with the company a couple of years, and I don't feel like I'm going to progress. I've asked for expectations. I'm told I'll never meet them because they're constantly changing.
Oh, my.
I'm not in the best, it's not the best time to be looking for a new job, especially right. with the oil industry in our area
right.
taking such a hit. So I'm just not sure how to continue on and not feel the frustration that I currently feel.
Well, the only way to do it, because you are in a mess, and it's what I would call a management mess. These people don't know how to lead their way out of a wet paper sack. Okay? So I'm going to tell you something right now that I want you to hear. And then I'm going to tell you what to do. Number one, you need to hear that this isn't you, it's them. This is not okay. you. The reason you've never felt this incompetent in 20 years is because you've never been surrounded by incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
You're not incompetent. That's why you've never felt this way before.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason you feel incompetent is because of the nonsense. I mean, just straight up nonsense that you just described. I mean, my producer, Joe, was getting irritated in the control room listening to, you know, I mean, that's bad. That is so, that is so goofy. So that's what you need to hear. And I hope that changes the way that you think. So make this mm-hmm. about, listen, these people are clowns and you're going to get out of the clown show when you can,
mm-hmm.
which means it's okay for you to start looking right now. Okay. But if there's nothing available because of the downturn in oil price, which, by the way, that's going to come screaming back.
Okay? Yeah.
All right. So if you can't find something right now, your mindset is these people are clowns, but they're such clowns. I don't feel bad about just taking a paycheck from them. And I'm going to take mm-hmm. the paycheck and I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to get stressed out and ask for a bunch of feedback because I know where that goes.
Right.
I'm not going to get my feelings hurt when they blast me in a group email because these people are incompetent clowns.
Okay.
It's the same advice you'd give your kids, Lisa, if they were being bullied on the playground. You'd say, yeah. stand up to the bully or don't listen to the bully. Don't give that mm-hmm. girl or don't give that boy the power when they start to insult you. Ignore them. I think it's that kind of mindset right now, just to get through. And I think you can do that. And I think mm-hmm. the minute that something opens up that you can step into it quickly.
Okay.
But I'm with you. Don't jump right now. I would rather you keep in a paycheck and stay stable financially, because I think mm-hmm. you can make the changes to stay stable emotionally and mentally.
Okay. That's kind of where I'm headed. And that's
what you do.
I just needed to hear that to know that I was going in the right direction.
Yeah, that kind of crap happens in the office. You just do one of those talk to the hand, you know, whatever. I'm not playing this stupid game. You people are goofballs. I'm out of here the first chance I get. I mean, that's just poor leadership.
Yeah, and I'm very loyal and committed, so it's difficult for me to make the transition.
Why would you be loyal? Why would you be loyal and committed to people that treat you like you're just an inanimate object? Just you're a worker bee, and that's all you are.
I think it's to prove them wrong, and I feel like I beat myself up to try and get the approval that I'm capable of doing the job.
Well,
and I'm just continuing to get that feeling, but I agree. I think it is something I need to transfer out of once I'm able to.
100%. 100%. Now, listen, just leadership should never react that way. They should mm-hmm. never treat people that way, and that's not going to change. So stop trying to change them.
Okay.
Stop trying to prove them wrong. I got news for you. They are wrong.
Okay.
They're wrong about the way they lead. They're wrong about you and your value. It's a real crisis, folks, in the workplace. This is a different kind of crisis I'm talking about here. See, people don't leave companies. They leave leaders. They leave managers. And there's a whole lot of people in this world that aren't passionate about their job. That's why I do the Ken Coleman Show. But there are a lot of people who actually love the work they're doing. They're good at it. They're in their sweet spot. But they work for poor leadership and poor cultures. And these boneheaded leaders don't realize why people keep leaving. The answer is in the mirror. Now, that sounds a little harsh, it occurs to me, because a boneheaded leader can become a brilliant leader. But you better start valuing people. You better start looking at how you treat people. People don't leave companies, they leave leaders. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, folks. This is the Ken Coleman Show, continuing to help you get clear so that you can get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, and work like no one else. Give yourself away and work with meaning. This continues, even in the midst of the coronavirus. I think you're going to see some real focus coming out of this thing where people say, you know what, this was the kick out of the nest that I needed. Let me ask you, if you have made progress or are still making progress in the midst of this coronavirus crisis, maybe you're taking more online classes, you're doing something, even if it's just something, one thing a day or one thing a week, you are still making progress in the midst of this deal. You are using the downtime to get ready for go time. Would you email me right now or when you hear this? ask@kencoleman.com. I want to share your stories. You could also go to my Instagram page, @KenColeman. Send me a DM or comment on one of our posts. Hey, I'm making progress. I just want to share it. I want others to be encouraged by you. It's one thing for me to tell you. It's another thing for me to read the stories of others and share your momentum. ask@KenColeman.com. Fire away. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Pittsburgh next, where Kevin joins us. Kevin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
Sure. I got a two-part question here. About a month ago, I was fired from my job for using social media. Up to that point, I was getting great performance reviews, but they let me go. My first part of my question is, how do I present myself in an interview going forward? And the second part is, how do I forgive myself for basically shooting myself in the foot, for lack of a better term, and my career path?
Mm-hmm. What did you do? I don't want you to overshare, but at the same time, I don't understand. You had good performance reviews prior to this,
yeah.
And then you get fired for using social media. Can you be more specific?
Yeah, they believe that I was spending too much time on it. My boss didn't feel the same way HR thought it was. They decided that it was best to move along.
What do you mean your boss didn't feel? I want to know more. They were tracking your computer. You were on Facebook too much or Twitter or what? Help me understand.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, I was on Twitter too much.
How much?
And yeah, I mean, the way the work would come in, you know, do something for 15, 20 minutes, and then maybe I'd take a quick break and then get back to the work. And I guess they decided.
How much time in your day were you on social media?
Probably about an hour.
Yeah.
I'd say about an hour and a half.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you're stealing.
Yeah.
But yet your boss said that he didn't think it was a fireable offense, but HR did?
Yeah, my boss was just impressed with my work product and my efficiency and didn't see an issue with it.
Okay, what role were you in? What were you doing?
Consulting.
What kind of consulting?
Let's just say it's a small consulting firm dealing with complex claims.
Okay, all right. Are you trying to get right back in that same game?
Yeah, I would like to kind of pick up where I left off. I was good at the work. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
So I'd like to pick back up there.
All right. So how to present yourself, how to forgive yourself. Let's talk about how to present yourself. Number one, you present yourself as somebody who's experienced, someone who really enjoys the work, and you tell them why you picked them. Okay? And you don't have to say, well, I got fired for using, for basically averaging about an hour a day on social media. That's really not something that if they want to call your resources, your references and find out, that's something they can do. And they're going to find out. I think for you, you just go, look, I was in a situation where good relationship with my boss. I had great performance reviews, but overall, big picture, didn't see eye to eye. You could say something like that. I just am never a fan of, because it was something you did, you shouldn't have done. There's nothing ethically wrong or morally wrong. And I said you were stealing from them a little bit. I mean, that's essentially mm-hmm. what you were doing, but that doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes, you know, if we had the number of Americans that spent an hour or less on social media walk outside right now. There wouldn't be many people outside. I think people are spending hours on social media during the day. So I don't think you're a bad person. Okay. So therefore, because I don't think you're a bad person, I just think you weren't being as dedicated or doing, there could have been something that you were doing. And I think you acknowledge that, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
So I don't think you need to say, hey, I was fired for being on Twitter too much, because here's the deal. They can call and find out anyway, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, if they really want to call, hey, but I think you talk to your current boss and go, hey, I really learned my lesson. If they call you, would you be willing to tell them that, that there was a disagreement with leadership as to your position, that you were pleased with me? And I think that's the truth based on what you told me, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So, I did reach out to him and he said that he'd be happy to offer me any sort of reference now or
okay.
in the future.
So my point is then theoretically he's not going to, he's going to protect that as, that's what happened in the past. And it was an issue between leadership, right? Based on what he told you, then there was a disagreement between him and HR on this deal, right?
Yeah, he never made any indication that my work was less than stellar and anything I was doing was less than stellar.
All right, so then I think you just focus on, they say, well, why are you here? You just go, I'm looking for a better opportunity. Had good experience and okay. I'm looking at it and you focus on the positive.
Gotcha.
Okay. And that's all you can do. I just don't think there's a situation where you have to feel like you've got to share all that. Because again, half the people that are going to interview you probably spend more than an hour on Twitter, okay, or whatever, mm-hmm. Facebook. So just learn from this, Give it your best. Don't spend an hour on Twitter during the day. Just don't do it.
Yeah, it's been a hard lesson.
I get it.
But it's one that I'll never make again.
I get it, and you won't. So there, that leads me to the second thing. How do you forgive yourself? You just say, I'm not an idiot. I didn't do anything morally wrong. I learned a hard lesson. I'm going to learn that lesson and it's okay. And I'm going to move forward. And it's just like, hey, you didn't do, and in fact, you're probably not on social media as much as most people. So that'd be the way to forgive yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got in a situation, you got to learn from it. Get over it. It doesn't define you the rest of your life. It just doesn't. It doesn't define you. This is the big thing with a lot of people. They'll make a mistake or a bad decision. By the way, we have to define mistake versus bad decision. He made a bad decision. He spent too much time on social media. A lot of people do that. A lot of people are miserable. I know that means they're spending a lot of time on social media. But he needs to hold his head high. Okay, Kevin is not a bad person. In fact, I think he's a better person today than he was prior to being let go a month ago. So we're going to move forward. We're not going to worry about it. Bunny writes in on Instagram, how do you find a job when you decide you want to leave the military? The same way you find a job when you're leaving another company. There's the military, you being in the military doesn't make the job hunt any different. So what you're doing is you're looking at my three indicators for self-awareness and clarity. Number one, Bunny, what do you do best? We're talking about abilities and qualities, hard skills, soft skills. That's what we're talking about. What do you do best? Those become the tools that you will use in the marketplace. They're what you're using now in the military. Number two, what work do you love to do? What do you get excited about when you think about doing this work? When you do this work, time seems to disappear. High emotion, high devotion. You put a lot of time into it and it creates high emotion. Then finally, what results matter most to you? Is it a specific people group that you love to help? Is it a specific problem you love to solve? Is it a specific solution you want to be a part of? Get the answers to those three indicators and start looking for that in the marketplace. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show, shining a light of clarity in a sea of uncertainty. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Are you scared? Are you just full of doubt? You're facing so much uncertainty right now, you're not sure which way to go. We are here for you. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Denver, Pennsylvania, where Josiah joins us. Josiah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Pleasure to speak with you.
Pleasure's all mine. How can I help?
So I've got a bit of a dilemma. So I used your proximity principle to move into a new position at my job. I got the promotion about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. The problem is I've been promoted but haven't seen an increase in pay for it.
Okay.
And I'm on baby step two. Or no, I'm out of baby step two, going into baby step three, mm-hmm. which is great, but due to my financial goals, and I'm a little financially restricted in moving forward.
Right.
My question is, should I stay and get the experience or find a better paying job?
Yeah, I'm just curious, before I answer that, was there ever a discussion when you were probably meeting and discussing getting promoted and then in the process of getting promoted, was there any communication about a raise in pay?
There wasn't. It was kind of, there's a lot of mismanagement
yeah.
in the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's pause. Okay, so we've figured that out. That is astounding to me. But can I lovingly challenge you for a moment, Josiah?
Yes, absolutely.
I hope you've learned your lesson on this deal, that you should never get yourself into a conversation about a promotion again without asking what would be the, if there is an increase in responsibility and influence, then you can always say, what is the increase in pay? And if they don't answer that, that would have saved you this weird situation where it's almost like, you know, do you guys even... I mean, do you realize what this makes a person feel like when they get a promotion but not a raise? That just doesn't even make any sense. Do you understand that you could have seen this coming? You could have said, "Oh, wait, huh?" You could have put them in a situation where they would have had to tell you, "Oh, well, right now there's not going to be an increase in pay," and then you could have gone, "Okay, why?" and what would need to be true for me to get said promotion and increase in pay? Do you understand that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, did that not occur to you to ask at that time?
Well, it was, and kind of the moving into the position, it was kind of, first I was helping out in the area.
Yeah.
And then, I guess he's considered the lead, wanted to bring me on. So he brought me on, but kind of went behind the scenes of the other people in the company, other management. And so now I'm kind of stuck in between the middle of it. And they're like, we're working on getting your title. 'Cause they haven't even actually officially titled my position.
Okay. When's the next conversation about all this? I assume these are meetings that are happening. When's the next one where you go, okay, what's the next step in my title? And then we've got to talk compensation. When is that scheduled?
As soon as possible.
Okay, but you see where my point is. So I'm not going to tell you that you need to leave right now, because right now I don't want you leaving until you have something to leave to. Unless you, because right. I understand you just got out of Dave Ramsey's Baby Step 2. For people that are non-Dave Ramsey show listeners, Baby Step 2 and Dave's 7 Baby Steps is paying off all the debt. So you're debt-free, which has made you, you know, obviously much freer. But now you're working on 3 to 6 months of expenses and you want to make more money. But I would not jump right now in the midst of this uncertain, you know, kind of job situation with this coronavirus. I wouldn't jump.
Yeah.
And I say this, whether this thing is happening or not, coronavirus, is don't ever jump, step into something else. So this is what you need. I'm not going to answer that question because I don't have enough evidence. I don't have enough details to give you advice. But what needs to happen is what I told you, you should have done the first time around. Hey guys, mm-hmm. I'm in limbo here. I want to step into this role, but we haven't even talked title or compensation. And quite frankly, I don't care what my title is, but I do care about an increase in income because of the increase in responsibility and influence. And we got to have that conversation. Don't be a jerk about it. Don't be impatient. Put it on them and start looking for something else. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Folks, this is the Ken Coleman Show. So thrilled to have you with us. We're helping men and women figure out what they were created to do and then come up with a plan to get there. And man, you start talking about jobs right now on talk radio and you're going, oh man, Ken, help me. And that's why we're here. One of the things I want to help you with is our Facebook community. We have the official Ken Coleman Facebook community. And if you just search the official Ken Coleman Facebook community on Facebook, you can join that. And these are people who obviously listen to the show, read my books, things of that nature. And yet, I got to tell you, I sneak in there every once in a while and just see what's going on. And the amount of practical encouragement that's going on over there is just a sight to behold. I get a little dusty in my eyes, if you know what I'm saying. People are really helping each other out. So I'm thrilled that you're listening to the program. And I want you to continue to listen to the program. I want you to watch us on YouTube every day at 12 Eastern. Search the Ken Coleman Show on YouTube, subscribe, and we'll give you a notification every day that we come on live. And we're there every day, Monday through Friday. However, the official Ken Coleman community on Facebook is just men and women all on the same road to try to fulfill their purpose in their work, contribute to this world. And it's a wonderful community, and the encouraging messages I'm reading every day are fantastic. So I want you to be a part of it. It will really encourage you in addition to everything else that we're doing. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Muskegon, Michigan, where James joins us. James, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
Hey, well, I took a new job 2 weeks ago. I left a full-time job to put together a part-time job in addition to growing some consulting I had been doing. Well, with it came a pay cut, but some more life stability. But now in the face of this national crisis we're in, seeing some reduction in the business workload. And so I guess my question is, how do I keep fear of the unknown and the fear of the uncertainty with the jobs to keep me from jumping back into a lifestyle that I was hating and killing my family slowly?
Right. Well, what industry you are in, what company are you? You don't have to tell me the company name, but what are you doing? And then what's the forecast right now on the next month with this stay-at-home thing being extended for at least 30 more days?
Sure. Well, I'm an accountant. You know, I do bookkeeping, I do controller services, and I left a steel company, but I came home to do accounting consultancy. I work from home, so that doesn't really change a whole lot for me.
Okay.
It's just a matter of the company workload and the work that they need out of me is going down as their customer base is shrinking.
Right.
So I guess, how do I keep from panicking and going out on the job market again? Because I think I'm led to do this. I think I found that this is what I'm good at.
Well, what would happen? What would happen if you get laid off in the next 2 to 4 weeks? How would that affect you financially?
My wife and I are a little weird. We have a paid for house. We've got probably 12 to 18 months worth of expenses and savings if we had to.
James, buddy, you held out on me. This call could have been over 30 seconds ago. Listen, sure. You're fine, man. You've got a year expenses at 12 to 18 months. My goodness. You got over a year and a half expenses in the bank, you know, or right at a year and a half. You don't have to worry. If they were to lay you off, you know what you would do? Find a hobby, go start something on the side, do something fun. Because guess what? You're going to get right back into it. Accountants and good bookkeepers are never going to be just stranded. And so if something were to happen, this would be a short-term deal, very short-term. You're talking about 60 days, probably max, it would be my guess. Is that a fair assumption? If you're saying that to yourself, if you're not thinking through fear, you're thinking through the facts. You're talking about a short term downtime, correct?
Yeah, I would hope. I mean, I guess my hang up is I've never gone out and had to sell myself before, so I'm kind of stepping into that in a kind of an uncertain market.
Yeah, but see, you're so experienced. As a guy who's an accountant, a bookkeeper, I mean, the amount of companies that need somebody like what you can do, it wouldn't take you long to jump in for somebody else still doing the work you love. You may not be doing it for yourself, but you'd still be doing the work you love. And that's the answer to your question. I don't want to panic and go do something and throw myself into all this stuff that I don't love to do, and I don't ever want to go back there again. And the good news is you've sacrificed in your life, you and your wife, to put you in a situation where, dude, even if it took you 6 months to find something, that's worth it. Even if you had to burn through 6 months of that emergency fund, who cares? It's worth it to never go back to that kind of work again. Am I right?
Yeah. I left something miserable where I was questioning my competence and my sanity all the time, and I hated it.
I know. So here's the thing, man. Good on you. I can't, honestly, I'm a little shocked you're calling me, and I don't say that to pick on you. I say that to snap you out of this.
Sure.
There is no reason for you to have any concerns about panic and going back into something you don't love. You got too much cushion, man. Too much cushion. Good for you. Don't let fear talk you into that. That is a bunch of nonsense. You have too much to offer the marketplace with amazingly transferable skills, wildly valuable accounting number crunching skills that will always be needed. So it's all about you getting the gumption to put yourself out there and getting over the fear of having to promote yourself. That's the real fear. That's the issue. Get over it. You got to do what you got to do. Get over it. If that's what you got to do, put your big boy pants on and think about your wife and anybody else that relies on you and swallow your fear and your pride and go put yourself out there. But way to go, James. You're in a great position. I think millions and millions and millions and millions of people would chew their right leg off to be in your position, to do what you're doing, and to be able to do it from home and have that kind of financial security. Let's go to Jessica next in San Antonio, Texas. Jessica, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I'm so excited to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, good. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
So I'm actually calling on behalf of my mom. She is kind of shy, and ironically, because she's been in sales most of her life. So she didn't feel like coming on the show.
Okay.
But I wanted to come on and see if you could help us. She, like I said, has a sales, marketing, advertising background for probably 30 plus years in mostly like radio, television, and now she actually has her own business. But she just wants to do something that she loves where she feels a little bit more fulfilled. She does love making things better, helping people, optimizing processes, and likes making better work environments for other people. She thinks that she's looking for a position involving process engineering possibly, but I know you say not to get caught up in job titles, so yeah. I was hoping you could help us to find some other industries where she might be able to use these skills.
Yeah. Well, I think that what you've told me so far, I think you're really focusing on a macro level, a little bit higher level to start. And I would keep playing this out, what you told me. You gave me some great information. If she was on the phone, I would say processes and environments. Which of the two does she like more? Does she like them both the same? Meaning, it's one thing to get involved and fix processes. That's kind of a linchpin type situation where, you know, you may be working with multiple different divisions in the company or multiple different teams, and you're thinking about efficiencies, work efficiencies, and as a result, that makes environments better, right? If you have a more efficient office, theoretically, the environment's going to be immeasurably better because people enjoy working there. It's not this, you know, fingernails on the chalkboard type situation. So to me, I would want to know more about what does she love doing most in the processes? So have her play this problem out. If you could fix processes all day long, Mom, and you could make work environments better all day long, Mom, what specifically would you be doing if you could just map out your day to make the processes better or to improve the environments? I'd want to know a list of tasks and functions that she would want to do all day. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I will say, because I am in a similar, I was in a similar situation, and I actually found my happy place as an IT Scrum Master.
Interesting.
And I had looked at a lot of different roles, like business process, like analysts and things like that, and it was almost like too much focused on the process. So I think for her, she really loves the people aspect of it. She loves helping people.
So here's
she ends
the
up doing
deal.
A lot of counseling in her job.
Okay, so here's the exercise. She's really close. Go back and do what I just did, except add that people quotient and go, how would you want to engage with people in the workplace every day? It's a super simple question and she needs to write it down. I want to engage with people this way, this way, this way, this way. When she does that, here's what happens. The job description is already written for her. So now she goes to the marketplace and she looks for that. Hey, I got to go. But before I do, you matter. You do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey, guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.